What's up? This is DK from Exciter, and you are listening to The Haunted Chapel with BZ and Johnny.
That's right.
Welcome to The Haunted Chapel. It's like church, but for metal. Here are your hosts, John Araya and Brittany Elliott.
Welcome to The Haunted Chapel. Welcome back.
Hello.
Episode 5. It's a good one. I'm John Araya.
And I'm Brittany Elliott.
That's right.
Back for all your listening and viewing pleasure.
Back for episode 5. It's a good episode this week. It's a really good.
This week, we had the pleasure of talking to two of the greatest guys in metal, in my opinion, the Tardy Brothers.
Yeah, that's right. Tardy Brothers.
Yeah, from Obituary, one of my favorite bands of all time. Mm-hmm. They're fucking amazing. I love them, and I love that they're awesome people. So yeah, that was really cool to talk to them.
It's cool that the two brothers have been working together for so long, like at an early age, meeting. Well, you'll hear it, but then those guys meeting like their heroes at such a young age and kind of like inspired them and kind of took them under the wing. And but Nasty Savage, that story is really cool. I really like hearing them talk about it because they were just so young and so
hungry.
Yeah, you know? So hungry. And it was really cool of Nasty Ronnie to take him in and treat him like not be like, oh, get out of here, kid. You know what you're talking about, but instead of taking him in and saying, yeah, this is what you got to do.
Hell yeah.
It was really cool. It's a really cool story talking to him about that.
We don't want to tell you too much until you watch it.
Yeah, you have to watch it. It's really cool. It's really good. It was a little short. We had so many other questions to ask them, but we ran out of time. But we'll do a part two.
Part two when the album comes out, because that's coming soon.
That's right.
So you're going to have to listen to the podcast and listen to the Tardy Brothers tell us when it's coming out, because that's coming soon. Also, this week was killer for us because we got to see Megadeth.
Yeah, that was great. That was so cool.
Absolutely amazing show, as always.
So that was your second time seeing them ever, right?
I can't recall seeing them since 2010 when Slayer came through with
the
Carnage Tour, Anthrax, Slayer, and Megadeth. And I remember I tattooed a good friend of mine that day, and he like traded me the tickets for the tattoo. And he was so worn out from the tattoo that he was like, oh man, I don't know. And I'm like, hell no, we're going. So we went, and it was like right after Megadeth, Slayer was about to come on, and he's like, dude, we gotta go. I'm like, I don't think so. So so we sat through Slayer, but I think that was the last time that I saw them was 2010. So shame on me, but Megadeth hadn't really come around here that much, or I was out of town or working conventions, and I just hadn't seen them in forever. So that was freaking amazing.
Yeah, that was cool going. I want to thank my friend Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
Thanks, dude. He's on the stage manager for Megadeth, hooked it up. We ran into him. We got to say hello to him and thank him. And that was, we were hanging out backstage, just kind of killing time with Mike, our good friend Mike DeLeon. And he had his son Atlas with him, little rocker.
He rules, man.
Great kid, man. Little headbanger. He's so into it. It's awesome.
He's an amazing kid. Every show that we've seen Mike at recently, he's brought Atlas, and this kid is just truly into it. You'll be like, hey man, you okay? And he's like, he's just thrashing. Like, he's not even paying attention to anything but the music. I mean, he's headbanging the whole time. Yeah. He's truly the next generation of metal. So that's really cool. And he was talking about the new Megadeth videos and saying, I can't wait for chapter 3. Chapter 3 came out today. And then as soon as, it's like he manifested this to happen. We're hanging out in the back and
we're hanging out back there by that was like catering or by the loading dock area, by the dressing room.
Just outside.
And so we're standing there, and then Dave walks out from back from the dressing room area, and he's going towards the buses or wherever.
It's him.
We're like, oh shit, there's Dave. Oh,
he
shit,
wrote
there's
kill
Dave.
Them all.
So he's walking away, and we're standing there talking. And then a few minutes later, he comes walking back. I'm like, oh man, there comes Dave, right? We're all looking that way. And I don't know, I kind of like threw my horns, like, what's up, right? And he's kind of like squinting, like, that Dave Mustaine, like,
who are
you? Who's that over there? And he looks behind him, like, you guys looking at me? Like, joking around. Like, what's up? So he comes up, and then Chris is like, hey, Dave, this is John Araya. And he was like, Johnny. He goes, oh, Johnny, look at this guy. And he goes, give me a hug. And gave him a big hug.
You're a little more gray than last time you saw him.
Yeah, a little more gray. And so he says, what's up? Introducing to Britt and Mike and his son Atlas. And he was really cool, man. He stood there. He talked to us for like, you know, 5-10 minutes. And
Atlas was stoked. It was so cool.
He was so excited.
He was like such on a Megadeth high. 8 years old. Imagine, you know, you're an 8-year-old kid watching your favorite music video. And then your dad takes you to the show and the dude walks up. That is just like, I can't even imagine at 8 years old.
Yeah.
I was into 90s rock hardcore. So that would be like Layne Staley walking up to me and I would have freaked out. So that was really cool seeing that interaction. He was just like, it looked like he wanted to show me Chapter 3. Because Atlas was talking about to Dave about how I've been watching them all. I can't wait for Chapter 3. And he's like, you want to see Chapter 3? Hold on. But you could tell he was on a mission. So he walked off and Atlas was like, ah!
that was really cool.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Very fun. So, yeah, a lot of cool upcoming shows. Waiting on the Wasp and Armored Saint tour. I personally can't wait for that one because I'm an Armored Saint fanatic. That's one of my favorite bands of all time. Yeah,
that's in November.
Yeah, that's in November.
The Armored Saint, Wasp. But Texas, there's 5 Texas dates, I think, or 6, 5 mm-hmm. or 6.
There's a couple of Michael Schenker
and
dates.
Those are the only shows Schenker is doing, which is Texas. He's not doing the rest of the tour, just Texas.
He likes Texas.
Which is awesome. Probably because he likes about. Texas.
And hell yeah.
Well, I think we'll be able to. I'll be here to go to that one, I think. That's before I leave. If I go on tour. But yeah, hopefully I can get to go and see that. That'd be great to see Armored Saint and Schenker.
And can you deliver?
I know Britt's a Wasp, big Wasp fan, so she's excited to see Wasp.
I'm just excited about everything.
That's going to be a good show. Yeah,
and you got good. Obituary coming with Carcass and Amon Amarth. You got Cannibal Corpse coming back. You got Priest coming soon.
Cannibal Corpse
is coming again. And then you got Scorpions. Damn. I mean, you just every heavy metal band in the world is touring in the next couple months. So keep your ears open.
I know. Yeah, that Faith tour is in October.
Yes. Merciful Fate announced
Fate with Midnight and Creator.
Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, that's a triple whammy right there. All three of those.
Yeah, the first date's gonna be in Dallas on the 25th.
Very cool.
So we'll be there
3 days before the Misfits show.
That's right.
So hopefully you guys are gonna fly in to see Merciful Fate and stay to see the Misfits and maybe stay for Halloween.
That's right.
Anyway, a couple more things we got going on, guys, is we've got our new giveaways going on. I'm doing a full day tattoo session, so you'll get one of these bad boys if you're the winner. A full day tattoo session gift certificate to get whatever you please tattooed on you. So that will be going through all of this month. I'll announce it October 1st. And also, more importantly, we are doing a big giveaway of a bunch of Slayer memorabilia from mostly Johnny's personal collection, like tour itinerary. What else, baby? What else are you giving away here?
Yeah, itinerary. We got the.
This is from my collection.
Yeah.
This is my OG. Remember when these were popular? These giant belt buckles? This was so hard to find, and I finally got it and was like, yes. So we're donating all of this stuff to be able to raise money for Ariel to help out with building her nursery. She still needs a crib and a couple of things that we want to help her get. So threw in my OG Ghost of War shirt. Johnny threw in a backline shirt for when he
Iron Maiden local crew shirt.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
This is probably the craziest thing. This is an original flyer from what year, babe?
Sheesh, that's got to be 83, I think.
Oh my God, this is crazy. Southgate,
yeah.
Friday, December 17th, probably 1983, he still had this flyer. This is crazy to me. That is so rad. So if you're super into Slayer, you know that all of this stuff is just kind of irreplaceable. Divine Intervention Pass.
All Access Pass.
Ooh, look at this.
Big
giant
Four.
Pick.
Big Four All Access Pass. That was from the California show.
All these picks.
Got some old school Anthrax picks, like with Danny Spitz.
Pretty cool, man.
Hanneman pick, Big Four pick, Kerry pick, Tom pick.
What are these?
Some signed 8x10s. One signed by Dave, the other one signed by Kerry and Tom. And unfortunately, Jeff didn't sign either one of those because Jeff was like that. Like, ah, whatever. this is cool. OG Rip Magazine.
This is probably one of the coolest things. This is the PMRC. Can you tell people what that is?
The PMRC issue. It was a parents music resource something headed by Al and Tipper Gore, actually Tipper Gore, when they were all like trying to censor
music,
heavy metal music and stuff like that. And
there's a badass Suicidal Tendencies
it's an OG. Article in there. It's in mint condition except for the cover being loose. But I mean, it's badass. Perfect, it's June 87. That's pretty cool.
Hell yeah.
We have this tour program. That's from 1990. That's a Japanese tour program. We went to Japan in 1990 for the first time.
That's amazing.
That's pretty bad. Really that's cool badass. There's not too many of those around. It's hard to find.
This is pretty rare too. I pulled this from my collection. This is an OG Ghosts of War back patch, unused. I've never sewed this on anything. I was saving it for the perfect jacket, but decided to donate it to the giveaway. So this is from 1990, under OG. License to Brockham. So all of this stuff is OG. So throw in $20 and you may win it all. And that money is going to go straight to Ariel to help her out with our new great nephew, Hendrix. Right. So check it out.
It's to help out Ariel. Welcome her new little baby boy into the world.
Can't wait to meet him.
I'll pick that up later. So that's just for a good cause, you know.
That's right.
We love Ariel and we're trying to support her as much as we can because
everyone's struggling these days.
Everyone's struggling.
Help your family.
We're trying to help out our family, you know. And so that'd be good. I can't wait to announce to pick a winner for that.
Yes.
It's gonna be cool.
And then go set up our nursery. That's gonna be so fun.
And then go and then welcome the little baby back. That's welcome the baby into the world. That'd be fun.
Awesome. Well, maybe without further ado, shall we introduce the Tardy Brothers?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Here's our conversation with the Tardy Brothers, Donald and John. Good dudes.
Love these guys.
Enjoy.
What's up, guys? Yeah! Hold on. We have no audio. Johnny's troubleshooting. No audio on their end, baby.
They can't hear us?
I can't hear them.
You can't hear them?
Johnny's a little flustered right now.
Hello? Hello?
There you are! Yeah!
Yeah! Sorry, guys.
Now it sounds like it's not on speaker.
Hang on.
We seem to experiencing
all right.
Technological differences.
Can you hear us?
We can hear you now.
Yes, we can. Thank you, great. Guys.
What's up, guys? Sorry that took a while.
Hello. Oh, we're back too.
Yeah, we're...
My brother put us in a spot where we're backlit.
But we can go outside. Is this game... Are you filming the audio or the video?
Yeah, but it's no worries. I mean, you're cool silhouettes. Either way, whatever you guys
all right.
Do.
Yeah, we're good with it. I mean, we can line it up if we have to. No, it's all good, man. Thank you guys for doing this.
How you doing, John?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
You got a little break now between tours? I mean, you know, you're working on a new record, right?
Get me out of here.
Yeah, no, we've been home for going on 5 months now. So, man, we're eager to hit the road.
The last run you did was it BLS or was it the East Coast?
We did BLS and then we actually did the Decibel Tour Magazine one.
Yeah.
And then we actually also did a redneck run.
Yeah, that was the last one, right?
Yeah, the last thing we did was our redneck run up the East Coast.
That was the run with Gruesome, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Why didn't that get out to the Midwest?
Too far to drive.
Okay.
Yeah, living in South Texas, a lot of bands skip us.
Yeah. It's tough to get out to the West. Just how expensive everything is to physically get the band and the gear and the bus out all the way out there.
As we're getting ready to do the Amon Amarth tour, and the first show is in Las Vegas, and the last show is in Los Angeles, and we come from Tampa. Awesome.
So are you doing any shows to Vegas and back to Florida?
To pay for the crew and the bus. We got the bus company's in Nashville, so we actually, this is how ambitiously we save money. We actually we're gonna pack up a box truck. We're gonna rent a U-Haul truck, and the band's gonna drive to Nashville, so the bus doesn't have to come all the way to Florida and do all that deadhead days.
Oh yeah.
And so then we just load up in the bus in Nashville. We do one Memphis show, and then we travel for a day and a half, and then we play one Albuquerque show, and then by the time we're done with that, we make it to Las Vegas.
It's cool. We're Albuquerque, and we're playing with a Hatebreed at a show in Albuquerque, so that's pretty sick.
Awesome.
Are you meeting up with another tour, or is it something that Hatebreed's already doing?
Yeah, they were. It happened to be that we
asked our booking agent, hey, you know, set up just at least two shows on the way to Vegas. And Albuquerque was one of those spots. And then he hit me back and he said, Hatebreed's playing the same night. Do you want to, team up? And we're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. That's cool when bands do that.
Yeah. Because it's the same audience. Hatebreed fans are Obituary fans.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, we got the tour with Hatebreed once before and absolutely love those guys, man. We got along so well with them. Yeah. And just, it was what a fun tour that was with those guys. So we'll do that anytime.
They're good dudes.
Badass. I wanted to ask about the previous one with the bath. How was that? Oh. He was so silly.
Yeah, the tour. Did you see the cartoon we made for it?
No, with the bath? No.
You got to look it up. Oh, we did like a cartoon, our silly cartoons, but we did like a commercial basically for the tour. But to kind of answer your question, everybody probably thinks of Abbott as being super serious and the whole nine yards, but once we talked to him and stuff, he was fine with us making fun of him in the cartoons and stuff like that.
And he's a goofball.
He's a goofball. Is. We had an absolute blast with him. So
he invaded our bus on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. You never can get over the fact you're just sitting there, not doing anything. And he just comes walking up with this full makeup on, full gear. And he's just like, hey, how's it going?
Dude, it's like a cartoon. It's like watching Looney Tunes.
Just do a search. You can find it. Just do the Obituary Abbott cartoon. Awesome. You'll find it. It's hilarious.
We've seen most of them. I'm surprised we haven't seen that.
You were on that show, didn't you?
Yeah, I don't think I saw you guys when all this went down. It was Trevor and me and I think Rodney Dunsmore. We were all just hanging out shooting the shit in the parking lot. And then Abbott comes like crunching off the bus and he's like, looks over at us and I have a Kiss totem pole of tattoos on the back. He's like, oh my God. And so he runs over to me and everybody's laughing. Trevor's like, oh my God. And he's like, you might like Kiss as much as me. And he's like, one moment. And then he runs back on the bus and he comes back down 2 seconds later, all disheveled, and he's buttoning up a shirt and he wadded up his Kiss shirt that he had on. He had like a Kiss Alive shirt on. Chunked it at me and he's like, this is for you. And I still have it in the closet. Awesome. He gave me his Kiss shirt. Like at the moment I met him, Trevor was like, that was pretty funny. I was like, man,
we did one of those cartoons for the Slayer tour too. I don't know if you ever saw that one, but that was pretty funny also.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
The cartoon with the what song was that? You had Nasty Savage. You guys drove up in a van to the zombie apocalypse. That one's awesome. I love that one. It's so good.
Yeah, that was the first one we did. That was for the song Violence. Off of the Ink and Blood, off the Ink and Blood album. And then it just was such a hit with the fans that the next album, we did the another cartoon. It was like a continuation of it from the song 10,000 Ways to Die. So those back to back, they really did the fans.
Savage, the second one.
Everybody was loving it.
Yeah.
Savage, the second one.
Yeah, that was 10,000 Ways to Die.
Are you guys in touch with Nasty Ronnie still? You guys like close friends? Like, are you friends now? Like a daily basis?
Yeah, man. We've been friends with Ronnie for 40 years.
Yeah.
I think Ronnie Galletti was the first person to like kind of be a big brother to me and my brother. Like when it came to, we were just kids and we were about to enter a studio and we were
teenagers.
Yeah. I mean, literally, I might've been 14 years old when I met Ronnie and, typical, the '80s, he took us to a state park and we were smoking weed and throwing a frisbee. I mean, is that not?
So he came and picked us up. We went to a park where they're throwing a frisbee. Oh man. Hilarious. So.
Yeah, that's great.
What kind of car was he driving? It was a,
oh man, I can't even remember. I can't remember.
Big old battleship, man.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
It was cool though. He was the first dude to really, kind of take us under his wings and at least kind of look out for us and give us, it wasn't a lot of advice, but it's just one of those things. Don't sign it until you read it twice.
Right. Yeah. He was kind of like,
which we didn't listen to him.
Damn it.
And screwed it up.
Oh yeah. He kind of took you in and like showed you the ropes. Like you need to do the demo. You need to do this. You got to keep true to your fans. So that's pretty solid advice there.
Yeah. And even if he hadn't told us some of the stuff and gave us the advice, just us being here in Brandon, Florida, where they were at the time in Tampa, just watching how he did it back then. Obviously it was back when he had a fans, what do you call it?
fans mail and fans, just literally physically mailing people stuff, and in the 80s, you know, making flyers and stuff, cutting out pieces of newspaper and little pieces of art, and then scanning it, going to a copy place to scan it, because, you know, this was before fucking
internet
and computers and laptops and shit. It was awesome. It was really cool.
Those guys, yeah, their street team, they would all these flyers, and I wish we had some of them to this day. They were just great the way they did them. They were so original.
Yeah.
But he would just go all over town. Anywhere he could put one up, they would put them up, and they were hard workers. They always have been.
That's awesome.
That's like that old school of Photoshopping you do sometimes with your artwork.
Well, I don't like when I tattoo, I don't have an iPad or any of that shit. And so I call it bootleg Photoshop, because people are always like, because I'm cutting and pasting. I'm like, dude, this goes back from when I was 13 years old on street teams making fucking flyers at FedEx Kinko's. But then it was just Kinko's. Yeah. I'm just going. Yeah. And you were lucky if you even got the paper cutter, you know? So
yeah,
I'm
exactly.
sitting there with scissors, you know, and doing all this shit. So I call it bootleg Photoshop. pasting. But I wanted to bust out some records, because just learning that was like your main inspiration, that's cool to me, because I've had these,
oh man,
nice,
since I was a teenager, these three records in particular.
All of the Mountain King.
Yes.
That's the greatest band in the world,
dude,
right there.
Fuck yeah. So my small story, I was like, I'm such a huge Obituary fan and fan of everything that you guys do. But then knowing that these are your influences is really cool to me, because growing up in San Antonio, it was just like metal as fuck. Like amongst my friends, my dad was into 70s hard rock, weird, obscure shit, like just Moxie and just Triumph. Not really that obscure, but there was the godfather of heavy metal DJ here called Joe Anthony. My dad introduced me to kind of more extreme shit. And then the guy at the record store he had a crush on my mom. My parents were divorced, so he's like, he was metal as fuck. His name was Jaime at Hogwild Records. And he's like, Britt, you got to start getting into this shit. Because I was buying Triumph and just like classic hard rock stuff when I was like a young teen. He gave me these three records, and it's since passed. He was an older guy back then, and he gave me those records and was like, jam this. And that's what got me into Obituary, you know, and death metal and stuff later. So that was really cool to learn that about you guys, that was kind of inspiration and you know, something that you guys looked up to too, because I listened to that in order, just accidentally. So,
well, I mean, we're just so lucky to meet all those guys at such an early age, and going around Tampa at these clubs. Most of half the time we couldn't even get in them because we weren't old enough.
Yeah.
But then as soon as we were, we'd get in these clubs and watch them way back when, and they're so awesome. I mean, Sabotage is always just what an incredible band. And John Oliva is just, you know, he's just my all time favorite singer.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Sound.
We were fortunate. We put together, Donald and I put together a Florida Metal Fest 5 years ago, more than that. I don't know, maybe. John Oliva came up on stage, and he sung three Sabotage songs with us playing them.
Awesome.
And,
we
were all just like sitting there floating on stage. Just couldn't believe what we were doing. But I mean, you talk about heavy. It was the heaviest thing you ever heard. I mean, it was just so good.
Yeah. Yes. That was just one of my favorite records growing up. And I was just like, ah, I was all into theater and shit. So I'd just be like, just trying to do
The 80s vocals are all about the,
but it was Agent still Steel, like, dark too. Yeah. That's awesome.
Still heavy.
Oh yeah, dude, he'll just hold notes for days, you know?
So when are you bringing back the fest? We need a round two.
The first one was pretty sick, because we talked our buddy Glenn from Deicide to do it with us, because we wanted it to be a Florida band fest. And so once Deicide said they would do it, then, you know, we went and got bands that, you know, that I wanted. You know, we got fucking COC to come down and do it, and Trouble. So those two bands alone, we were like, fucking, this could be a killer festival. You know, and then we loaded up a few other bands from Florida to do it with us, and some friends and stuff around the United States to come down and do it, and ended up being a really cool festival. We just didn't have the finance to try and keep doing it, because we lost our ass on the first one.
Which we knew we were going to.
We knew we were going to. We did our homework, and they said you're going to lose money on the first one. If you break even on the second one, you can go for the third one, and they were correct.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It was a lot of work.
It was a lot.
I'll tell you, we busted our ass to put that thing together, but it did come out good.
It was killer, man. It was
awesome.
Quite the time.
So was that the first time you got to collaborate with Sabotage or with John ever, or was that?
Yeah.
You guys got to play with
wow.
him.
Yeah.
Wow. That's after all those.
Yeah. Years. And you know, he's not an easy man to convince. He's not an easy man to convince to even probably leave his living room, but for him to commit to it, you know, it took some magic, because the Morris brothers from Morrisound Studios, that, you know, we did our first five albums there, and every band on the planet went to Morrisound. They're still friends of ours. We had them reach out to John, and just say, hey, you know, the Tardy brothers really do want you to guest appear, because it would mean the world to them. Wow. And then we just had, you know, our engineer, Mark Prater, same thing, just a few people to reach out to him and just kind of say, hey, man, it would be cool. This is going to be a cool festival. And sure enough, you know, he agreed to it. And then all the way down to the last minute, it's like, is he really going to show up? And he did.
Like a wedding.
Which was cool. We named the main stage. We named it the Chris Oliva stage.
Yeah,
too, so that was pretty sick.
Yeah, the main stage was named after his brother, obviously, which was super cool. That's and awesome. You know, stage B was for Chuck Schuldiner. You know, we had the B stage that had heavier bands on an inside stage. The main one was outside for a 2,000 seat venue. It was pretty cool. It was an absolute dream come true if we could have kept it going, because Tampa kind of needs a Florida Metal Fest. But
for sure,
goddamn, it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And we're still licking our wounds.
Oh, no shit.
All good.
So we got to contact Skynyrd and see if they'll headline and fund this.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'd say Molly Hatchet, but you're not going to get in touch with any of those guys anymore.
Get Blackfoot together.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Some Blackfoot or some Skynyrd would rule.
Outlaws.
Outlaws. Hell yeah. On that note, what's your favorite deep cut Skynyrd song, guys? That's my favorite band of all time.
COC did a Skynyrd song. And I can't think of which one it is. And it was always one of my favorite songs. And when I heard Corrosion's version of it, I was like, oh my God, I know where you are, baby.
It's
know
called On the Hunt.
Yeah. Girl. What song is that?
It's On the Hunt.
The Hunt.
Just on like
Hunt.
You, baby. Yeah. I'm on the Pepper, Hunt. Yeah.
Yeah. Pepper Keenan did a fucking killer job on it. When I heard it, I was like, holy shit, this is killer.
Yeah, I got to
read it. And that was one of my favorite Skynyrd songs anyway. So. Yeah.
Good choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with that band. A lot of lessons to be learned in those songs, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Really. Absolutely.
Lessons. Yeah.
So I know
I watched that movie for the first time not long ago, actually. That was the movie they did on the Skynyrd document. Amazing. That was really good.
Yeah.
It's a book commitment.
Yeah, there's a few of those.
The Shack. Really what was good. It called? The
Hell
the Shack
House.
That they,
Hell House.
Yeah.
Hell House. Yeah.
They keep themselves there for days playing the same riff, you know? Yeah.
Ronnie wouldn't write awesome. Lyrics down. That's so cool.
Right, and Ronnie never wrote a lyric.
Yeah.
He memorized, photo memory or whatever you call it. Never wrote a lyric down on paper.
Yeah, he said.
That's incredible.
Yeah, if he couldn't remember it, it wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, good point.
That's crazy.
Pretty cool.
That's wild, but it's great. I was reading that your older brother had the massive record collection that was like your inspiration. Yeah. And you used to dig through his records and listen to his
vinyl. Yeah, you know, our oldest brother, Greg, you know, it was 70s. It was long before we were introduced to death metal or even heavy metal.
Yeah.
He had that Southern Rock collection vinyl where when he would go to work, you know, he was 6 years older. He's 6 years older than I am. So when he was like a 17-year-old kid, I was like a 10-year-old, and he would leave for work or wherever. And I'd sneak in there, and he had Molly Hatchet and Outlaws and Lynyrd Skynyrd and Blackfoot.
It was the golden platinum Lynyrd Skynyrd album. You open it up and there were seeds and stems all in it. You know, when you're sitting there, me and DP were like, what the heck is going on here?
Yeah. Sounds like my dad's record collection. Same. Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's right. There's a picture of me on a sit and spin when I'm 3 years old, and there's a bunch of records, and I'm sitting there listening to the records. You know, that's all we did as kids. We didn't watch TV. We just jam.
Yeah, I remember when he yelled at me because he had his Kenwood stereo and his new needle on there. He just said, don't fuck my needle up.
That's right.
Yeah, man.
And I probably did, you know. And it was also, you know, like Ted Nugent, Queen, Led Zeppelin. You know, it's kind of what influenced me and John, you know, that's kind of why we're a death metal band now, but you still feel that Southern influence from us with the riffs. You know, we're not a 1,000-mile-an-hour playing band. And it's, I think, because we grew up to the Southern rock, you know,
the groove, you got the groove, like,
the new album, by the way, if we're changing gears, is that I cannot wait for you guys to hear the new album, because talk about
talk about meat and potatoes and groove, and just it came out
nice,
fucking fantastic.
Can't wait for it. Can't wait.
So can't wait. You know, it's it'll be out in January, and
great. So
we're excited about it.
So we'll pre-order two copies right now.
Yeah.
We just wanted to talk to you guys about what's going on and the new record when it's coming out. Now we know that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Anytime.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, officially, it's going to be coming up actually pretty soon, right before the Amon Amarth tour is when we're going to announce the name of the album. They're going to, you know, they're going to put it on pre-sale right before the tour starts. So you guys are, I think you're the first two that were actually given a little bit of insight on when it is, you know, but early November, I think November 10th, we're going to put it on sale for pre-sales.
Wow. Yeah, and you would know, we had a year and a half off.
Yep.
Great time to sit at home, write an album, because you can't go out and do anything.
Right.
And, you know, the first thing we did, we invested in a whole new Pro Tools rig, because the original one we had is just old, outdated. We had to replace it. So we did that. So we have a year and a half off to write and record an album.
Yeah, during COVID.
And sure enough, you know, we sit there and drag our ass, and next thing you know, we're getting ready to leave on tour, and we're not even done putting stuff together yet.
Yeah.
So it was like a mad rush at the end to get everything finished up and off to Joe. And
typical idiots. Just funny. Band wait for the last minute to try and finish the album.
Yeah.
And we're doing, you know, the very last minute, we're pushing all the songs to Joe C.
Yeah, the bus is pulling up. Ken's doing the last solo. It was great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Bunch of idiots.
New cartoon coming soon.
Yeah, exactly.
But it came out killer, man. I can't wait for the world to hear it.
You guys are badass. Respect the hustle. Yeah. Y'all are always on the move. It seems like it's we've seen Terry like four times this year, all in different bands too. Yeah. And I'm like, man, the other guys are busting ass. Like it's just so cool. All of you guys are just nonstop.
Butler, he's a glutton for punishment, driving around and playing. I mean, that guy's more power to him, man.
Yeah, man. That guy's,
we're tired of watching,
I'm serious. Yeah, I tell him, there's no way I'm doing that, dude. You're out of your mind.
Yeah, Terry's, he seems like he's on the road 24/7, man. He's not.
Yeah, lately, anyway.
He likes it. Ken loves it. If Ken's not on the road, you know, with us or whatever, he's out teching for people.
Yeah.
He loves being on the road, you know. So I don't mind getting home and spending my time at home.
Home's
going off when we got to go off and do our work. So
we love being home too. Awesome. Is Kenny insane?
No, actually he's, you know what?
Yes, he is.
he kind of is, but I think it was like a perfect storm for him because, you know, we had been a band for 30 years before Kenny entered the picture.
Right.
Actually, he's been in the band. It's going on like 6 years or so, but I think he just in nature, you know, he got right in and he couldn't be more excited about being a part of something that was successful, quote.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think he couldn't handle it, man. He just was hitting the vodka so hard and just so stoked to be there every night. And every night he didn't want it to end. And the only way it ended with him was when he was on the floor,
right.
You know, but you know, after quite a few tours and years of that, believe it or not, those last two tours that we just did, man, Ken actually snapped completely out of it and did them completely sober.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, he was always sober when we start the show.
Yeah. Right.
That was a good thing. Yeah. We all get our work done first, but afterwards, another story.
Right. That's awesome.
The funny thing is, too, is Ken, when we were like, whatever, back in the 90s, Obituary would be the last thing Ken would want to listen to. He used to hate it. And, you know, he was just more of a thrash metal type of person back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, it's almost like after every show, we were sitting there talking right after a show, you know, all soaking wet and stuff. And he has so much fun. He enjoys the music so much. He's almost every night is like, still can't believe I didn't like you guys back in the 90s kind of stuff.
Right. You better say that.
Yeah, it's hilarious though, but you know, God love him. He's his solos, I think, fit so well with what we do now. He does such a good job with the old leads that both Alan and everybody else did. But we really have been having a good time with Ken, and wrote two songs in a new record too. We did with
Ken. Kenny contributed. He got two songs on the new album. They came out killer too. So super proud of him, and he's stoked. He's stoked. He's got songs on an album that's actually going to get released. His other bands, you know, it was just closet bands.
So with Kenny's influence, like being a little faster, like thrashier stuff, how did that mix with your guys' writing style?
It was cool. I think it actually helped. It added a little flavor to this album because
you know, obituary is obituary. We're not going to reinvent the wheel. We don't want to. We're the way Trevor and I write and John's lyrics, we're happy with that.
Yeah.
But with Ken, it was cool because he was super excited to bring his ideas and thoughts to the table. So, you know, he's in Orlando, which is 100 miles from us. So he was, you know, he'd be at home working on his laptop, recording some riffs and stuff and sending them back and forth to me. And then when he would get here, I mean, we literally used the term, you just got to dumb it down a little bit because you're way in super ambitious and it's cool, but it's not obituary yet. You got to dumb it down.
Yeah.
And we did, he would go from super ambitious, way too many ideas and riffs for one song. And we'd figure out what song, what riffs actually worked. And then half the time it was not the drum beat he was hoping for. He was hoping for, and I throw in, he's like, damn, I didn't think it was going to be that. But at the end of the day, he's like, you know what? It works that way better. And John and my brother's voice, it helped his lyrics on one of the songs that Ken wrote. Because again, it was a very gallop kind of idea that he had, but the minute we made it more death metal, it still worked beautifully. And,
it's fun though. I mean, you know, we make him, he's really good about, you know, he's not like, oh, that was my rhythm, I got to have it like that kind of thing. He's totally cool with changing things up with us. But it also forces us to maybe try something a little bit more that maybe we weren't quite comfortable with doing and getting in there and making it happen. And once we kind of just kept working it and throwing ideas back and forth, I think it came together pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Can't wait for you guys to hear it. It's going to be
sick. Dude, we're so excited.
We're excited. It's been a while. What, how many?
5 years?
5 years, right?
It doesn't seem like it. I swear it does not. It doesn't. Yeah. I mean, a year and a half of that was, you know, crumbled up and thrown away.
Yeah.
But it does not feel like that album is 5 years old already.
No
man,
shit.
Unbelievable.
I know you guys did a few live streams during the pandemic stuff. Are you going to do anything with that live recordings? Are you going to like maybe do a live record or something?
Yeah. In fact, the first two live streams we did, it was at a production company here in Tampa. That's a buddy of ours. They do all the, they do the PA systems for Central Florida, all the big shows that come through.
Right.
So they were the same in the same boat as us. So the boss, who's a buddy of ours, Otto, Eric called us and he's like, dude, we're in the same boat, man. We're home. We have $1 million PA systems in the warehouse just tucked away until this pandemic's gone. So what we did was we cleared out one of the big warehouses and we're going to be doing live streams. And I was like, what the hell is a live stream? I mean, that was before what anyone really knew what they were.
Yeah.
And a band, Under Oath, from here in Tampa was getting ready to do one. And Eric said, why don't you guys come down and see what we're doing for them and with them. And you guys, you know, I know you guys would want to be a part of it and we would want you guys to do it if you want. Sure enough, we went down there and kind of saw what they were doing and got an idea of what the hell is a live stream and how do you get people to even be interested. And, so to answer your point, yeah, the first two that we did, we wanted to make it super exciting for the fans. So we said, let's commit to it. It's going to be a lot of work, but we relearned and we performed Slowly We Rot in its entirety. And then the second weekend, we performed Cause of Death in its entirety. And it was
many of those songs we'd never even played before live.
And so Joe C, Joey Sincotta came down from, because he does our live sound.
Yep.
He's like, I want to be a part of it, man. Let me come down. So Joe flew down from New York. He mixed it. He mixed it for the broadcast, but it was also filmed. A film company filmed it, and Joe recorded it on the Pro Tools rig that they had there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had that recording, and of course we were like, why wouldn't we use this?
Yeah,
and so certainly. proud to say, I think it was last Monday, we just put it out it's coming out now as a DVD. As killer. On vinyl, they're both coming out on DVD and on vinyl and on cassette and everything else. But we just announced the pre-sales of the live album. So I'm glad you actually asked that because the pre-sales just started about 4 days ago.
Oh,
you definitely got to get that. I think Joe gave you a shout out because Johnny texted him and was like, hey, dude, we're about to watch a live stream. He's like, hey, guys, John Araya's watching. I was like,
Yeah, no, you're reminding me that I did too because I remember... I had my headphones on and I'm like, how's it sound, Joe? And Joe said, Joe had a talk back so the whole band could hear it. He said, J- Johnny Arise says it sounds good. That's right. If John says it sounds good, it sounds good to me. That's
sound right. Great.
I forgot about that.
You know a thing or two about sound.
We watched both live streams, man. It was great. It was so cool.
Then I'm sure that part's on the DVD. Then you're going to hear me say, hey, if John said it sounds good, it sounds good to me.
We just never miss you guys, man. Whether awesome. On the screen or when you come to town.
Yeah.
Except that one and beach tour.
And then the other live streams, not to stay with that, but the other live streams, you know, we do it right here from John's house, which is the studio that we have.
Uh-huh.
And those were fun for us because that was more our style, you know, flip-flops, drinking beer, and just in the studio with our Pro Tools rig.
That's awesome.
And it was funny because we spent a lot of money at those first two on production and that warehouse, and just a lot was put into it.
Yeah.
And we realized we were here. All we did was set up six GoPro cameras and bought a little mixing thing. And the fans like that one better than the fucking full production.
The one we spent $80,000 on.
Right. And then
it's pretty cool because we now, you know, and the technology's come so far. We know we can set up six cameras out there. The Pro Tools audio sounds so great. We bring Mark Prater over to help us just put it all, you know, get the audio and stuff going. But it's fun turning the cameras on out there at any given time we want. Barefoot, beer cans, and just sit there and just go through some songs. And it just sounds so killer out there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. And then the Power Trip boys showed up. I was like, yeah.
That was sure a coincidence.
They were pretty good actors.
Hilarious.
Those cheap bastards, I had to buy the case of beer and that bottle of put it in their hands and say, hey man, act like you're walking in with beer.
No shit.
You guys are too broke to bring real beer. Here's some beer to walk into my studio with.
That's funny.
But we know that was a tough time for them, you know, what they were going through and stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
the fact that they took the time to come and do that, and we got to play that song. That was pretty sick. That was pretty cool.
Man, Riley. Yeah. So Riley and I, we grew up together. I used to do for my best friend's band. His band was called Bitter End, Texas hardcore band. And Daniel, the singer of Bitter End, was best friends with Riley. So we used to go crash on Riley's floor. I was 17. Yeah. I think Riley was 18 going to school in Denton. So that was one of my best friends growing up, and she had the same love for Obituary.
Yeah, it sucked.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that was brutal.
He loved you guys. He worshipped you guys.
Yeah, he did.
And that tour we got to do with them when we met them and got to do that whole tour with them. I mean, we just had so much fun.
Yeah.
And just, you know, we get to see them anytime we're all together. They show up and we show up, and it's awesome. Just really cool. So it stinks, and it's just but it was fun. We got to do that and to pay a little tribute to it. So,
hey, that's great. I made these shirts. You can't really see it. It says Riley Gale and the Power.
Oh, nah, sick.
So I designed these just for the band, and I just Rodney printed a couple up just for friends. And I gave Blake a bunch, but I'll send you guys some. We'll get Rodney to print you guys
awesome.
Just because they're just freebies for the band, and if they ever want to sell them, to give to Riley's Foundation to help out.
Awesome.
Oh, cool,
yeah.
Yeah,
man. Good. We love
any way we can help. Any way we can help out, we would love to. Would love to help for sure.
Yeah,
he loved you guys so much. So that'd be.
Oh, yeah. He cool. always supported you guys' gear, merch, you know?
Yeah.
That was a good dude.
Yeah, he did.
That was tragic. But I was going to ask you, like, you know, you had this brief hiatus you guys did. I mean, from like 97 and I don't know, what did you guys do? Other than Obituary for that time.
that was one of those periods where, you know, everyone's like, what, how did it happen and why? Yeah. It's funny because looking back, we don't even know why the hiatus happened. You know what I mean? Besides just those first few years as young as we were and just on a record label that we clearly saw we were getting completely screwed when it came to the contract that we signed and blah, blah, blah. And just the living out of backpacks and on planes and in trains, planes, and automobiles kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
We just, whatever, we came home and everyone just started doing what they needed to do, you know, getting married, having families, just getting real jobs, staying away from the music industry for a little while. I know Death, you know, that's kind of what John did. I think he went and got a real job for a little while. And I didn't know what to do. I just kept playing, like practicing my drums. And then I met Andrew WK, and that took up 5 years of my life of the time that Obituary wasn't doing anything for those 6 or 7 years. So I stayed busy with music with Andrew, and it's funny how long ago, I can't believe that was 20 years ago.
Wow. Wow, that was that long.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. It was not really. I think we planned on taking a little bit of time off.
Yeah, maybe.
But it was just kind of one of those things that, you know, it's like after a year and then 2 years, and it was just like, you know, it wasn't like our phone was ringing off the hook, like people asking us to do stuff. You know what I mean? It just got quiet. The whole scene seemed to get quiet, and it definitely got quiet for us.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I mean, we've done that twice in our career. We just took a step back, you take several years off, get away from each other a little bit, feel it out. You know, and then when everybody comes back together again, it's kind of refreshed and new, and you're kind of re-energized. And I think it's a good way to keep a long career going without killing yourself, thinking you're going to put albums out every other year nonstop and tour constantly. And that wears a lot on bands and friendships and brothers and everything.
Yeah, so. Looking back at it, I think it was a blessing to kind of get away for quite a few years and recharge and rekindle that fire of realizing that, man, there's nothing better than being on stage. Right. But it took a little break to really probably appreciate that. We don't know it. We wouldn't have known that if we didn't take the break. And I can tell that it was a good thing.
How was that like playing with Andrew WK? And did you ever get to meet Vinny Appice?
Vinny Appice?
Yeah.
I did not. Did we meet Vinny? Have we ever met Brandon to Vinny? I don't think so, but Andrew's story was a cool one, like for me anyway, because he was super young. He didn't know what he was going to do. He just had a demo tape, but he was getting a lot of like looks, and he wrote me a letter in pencil and somehow mailed it to me. And he just kind of explained who he was and that he was getting ready to get signed. He was getting signed to like Geffen.
Yeah. And
yeah, it was going to explode. I didn't know, but I knew I didn't want to do another death metal band. I mean, what am I going to do? I got my brother as my singer. Any other singer, what really? I mean, what am I going to do? It's going to be just compared to Obituary. No one's going to like it before they hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
Andrew's shit was the complete polar opposite. It was like some weird, crazy shit. But it was challenging for me to take a step out of death metal and play that style of music. And then the next thing you know, it went from zero to fucking 1,000 miles an hour and gold albums and Ozfests and playing Saturday Night Live and shit. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was, you know, that was like right when he blew up, when you were.
The good old days. The last of the great decades. Yeah.
He was huge. I mean, I guess he still is. He's.
I fucking loved him. Andrew W. Yeah. I was like, dude, I have a picture of me in like 2009 dressed up as Halloween as him. I was just in all white with the blood, you know, with my long hair. I'll have to show you guys that picture, but yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, what are you? I'm like, fucking Andrew WK, duh. Nobody knew.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's that artist where the people that love him absolutely fucking worship him.
He's
the people
funny.
That don't, they hate him.
Yeah.
Or they don't get it at all, you know what I mean? And I totally understand that.
He just seems like a good positive guy. So
yeah.
I don't know about the music.
He is. He's highly intelligent.
Awesome.
Super motivated and very sure of what he wants decision-making wise.
Right.
Early in his career, he was young and he really had a focus on what he wanted, and he was not going to take no for an answer kind of thing. And a weirdo.
Right. Hey guys, I don't know what happened with our Zoom. We're using this kind of older computer, but I think it's going to stop our meeting in like 2 minutes. It keeps flashing.
Right.
I don't know why. It's never done that
all
before.
Good.
We love you guys. We're so
let's wrap it up.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for taking the time out. We really
no problem.
Really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and once the album's out, let's do it again when the album comes out.
Hell
yeah. We'd love to.
Spend an extra day here and we'll grill up some meat. We have a big, huge, fucking badass in-ground pool at this rent house we're at. So
right on.
Come grill out and party, and then we'll tattoo all of you.
Shit, yeah. We'll see you guys on the. And we'll see you on the American tour. I'm sure you're going to come find us.
We will be there.
We'll be there, of course.
Awesome.
Right on, man.
Right on.
Thank you, guys.
Good seeing
you guys.
You guys are awesome. Thank you
so much.
See you guys.
See you
later. Love y'all. Bye, guys.
That was awesome. Talking to John and Donald. They're really good dudes. And their stories are so... It's just really cool to hear them talk about...
I would say inspiring.
It is inspiring because they've been a band since 84.
And they're brothers, and they've managed to keep that bond, which I think is so special to have a bond like that with a sibling, and to keep that even through like a professional career. You could tell that they're still best friends. Like they constantly refer to each other as my brother, you know, and just seeing the bond between those two is so sacred, and that's just amazing that they were able to build a career and you know, just build such an empire of music. You know, just they have so much badass music. They always stayed true to themselves. Their sound stayed true, and they're just amazing human beings. So I will forever support Obituary, the Tardies, and all those guys. I love them.
Yeah, Donald and John worked, and Trevor, the three of them, have been the core mm-hmm. of Obituary since 84.
Since they were kids.
Before the band, they were friends.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
Like, they were riding around their bikes together, and they were in school together, did sports together. Then decided to be in a band together, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And then they're still friends, and 30 plus pretty years cool. now, you know? And they're still writing and working together. That's really cool. It's so awesome that they still remain brothers and close friends after all these years. I mean, that's a long time to work with someone.
Yeah, for sure.
And still be together as a band. I mean, it's like a marriage kind of, you know, they worked it out, and they're still going strong. And, you know, they got a new record coming out, which we're excited about.
Super stoked.
So excited.
Not to mention the live stream album's coming out.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool. So there's going to be a bunch of new Obituary.
It's actually out now.
Well, I think the pre-order.
They announced it.
Johnny's 420 alarm's going off.
420 alarm. They announced a couple of weeks ago, you can buy the live album. They did Slowly We Rot and Cause of Death. They recorded them live for the live stream, and they released it on DVD and audio, so you can buy the bundle. I think they're available on Relapse website. It's very cool. I mean, we watched the streams, and they were awesome. They sounded so good.
Hell yeah!
Josie did an incredible job mixing all that.
He's an amazing sound man. He did the sound for the last couple Danzig shows. If you guys caught those, so if you were like, "This is the best Danzig's ever sounded." That's why they got Obituary sound man.
Yeah, they got Joe on board for that.
Hell yeah, Joe.
He did a great job. He's a good dude. Yeah, we love Joe. Sure. Good guy. What we didn't talk about because we ran out of time with Donald was the work he does with Feral Cats. He's got this organization called Metal Meowlisha.
Awesome.
And it's really cool because we love cats. I love cats. I helped save Glenn's cat. So, I mean,
wait, have you told that story yet? We're going to have to get Steve Zing on one of the next episodes.
I think we'll get Steve on, and he could tell the story like from his perspective, because he was on the bus.
We're going to get to the Danzig story one of these days.
He witnessed that whole thing from the bus. I was inside the venue. I didn't know what the hell was going on in the bus, but Steve has a good, cool angle on that story. So, yeah, we love cats.
Yes.
We want a cat, but we rent, and I don't know.
We have a lot of breakable stuff too, and you got to find the right kitty. So we're just waiting for the right someone to come into our lives.
So Donald's organization is great. They take in cats, feral cats. They get them neutered. It's called Trap Neuter Return.
Okay, awesome.
And, yeah,
so
they just release take these them back cats, the and they take yeah they work with local vets, veterinarians, and clinics, and they take these cats in, they neuter them, and then they release them back into the neighborhood.
Cool.
Just instead of. And they have a no kill policy.
Right.
Like none of the felines that are brought in are put down. They're just neutered, and they put them back out in the neighborhood, you know, where they roam, and they're free because, you know, like cats, you get a chance to.
Yeah. So. It's not their fault they want to procreate.
Because they got a disease. You shouldn't put them down. I mean, it's curable. You can give them a chance, you know.
For
and
sure.
That's really cool. And if you want to help out, if you want to donate, they have a PayPal. It's called helpcats@obituary.cc.
That's awesome.
We'll put that up
on
the screen so you can see it. But that's really cool. That's really good of them for doing that. That's so cool. I mean, not a lot of people have that
for
generosity
sure.
and care about animals. And that's how you can tell how a person by how they treat their pets or how they treat
or
animals.
Their brother.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. And plus, like Glenn said, you know, you fuck with a cat, that's bad juju, man.
That's bad juju. Egyptians worship cats.
Egyptians worship cats.
That's in the famous words of Glenn Danzig.
That's right. You know, we're really looking forward to catching up Obituary on this coming Amon Amarth tour, the Great Heathen Tour.
Dude, as it's those called. Three bands on one bill? Are you kidding me? I don't know if my neck can handle that.
Amon Amarth, Obituary, Carcass, and Cattle Decapitation.
Bands.
That's going to be insane. That's amazing. And that starts November 11th. I think in Vegas. And it's like for a month. And I'm not sure where it ends, but it ends in December 17th. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Next on the bill, though, next week is Riot Fest. Are any of you guys going to Riot Fest?
Yes.
Riot I hope Fest so.
Chicago. Should be cool.
Yeah, I was hoping to go, but I think I'm going to have to stay back and work and tattoo all my awesome clients. So catch Johnny on stage working for the boys, the almighty great misfits, and say hello if you see him and make an appointment to come get tattooed. We'll just keep pumping out cool stuff as much as we can and hope to see all of you guys either at my shop or on the road or at one of these awesome metal shows coming up.
Yeah, that's right. Also, I don't know what y'all have been reading lately, but Obituary also has a book out.
Yes.
It's called Turn It Inside Out.
It's killer.
On Decibel Books.
Donde está the book?
Here's the book right here.
Bloop. This book is awesome.
It's great.
Yes.
It's written by David. I wish I can't pronounce his last name. David Gilkey. I hope I'm pronouncing it right.
Hold on, we need to phone a friend. Tardy!
Also, the foreword was written by Max Cavalera, which is awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, that guy's been around, you know, Sepultura. I mean, she's, guy's just an metal icon, Max.
And it's cool when bands support each other. There's so many bands that are like, shit on each other, you know, so it's cool to see, like, some of your heroes actually supporting each other. So yeah, that book's kick-ass. You guys need to read more books.
Yeah, you can pick up that book on decibel.com. It's still available.
That's awesome. I know they had it on the last tour, too, for sale. So maybe when they come through town, they may have some books for sale.
Yep.
But yeah, dude, support Obituary. These guys are awesome. They're amazing human beings. They're always pumping out badass music and just giving back to the fans. They're awesome dudes. So yeah, definitely support those dudes on their next run coming up and try to support metal as much as you can. Me, personally, I've been reading this Metal Blade book.
Yes.
Which is awesome. This was gifted to me by the one and only Brian Slagle when we went out to the Metal Blade Museum when we were out in Vegas a couple weeks ago. And Brian's just an amazing person, and we're just very grateful to have him as a friend and have him in our corner. And he gave me something really cool is going to make you guys really jealous if you're a big Armored Saint fan like me. Hold on.
There's.
I saw it. So we're hanging out at the museum and he's showing me all this killer Armored Saint stuff from back in the day, like their first original vest.
Yeah, so many amazing artifacts in that museum that they have there. So cool.
Dude,
so cool.
I almost pulled a Wayne's World. I'm not going to lie. Like the I'm not worthy scene because it was awesome. But Brian gave me this, which was a Metal Blade promotional item for Armored Saint. It was the John Bush. Oh, wait, no, this is Joey Vera. It's Joey. My bad. So this is the Joey, the Win Hands Down record. They put these out, and that is hands down, no pun intended, one of my favorite records of all time. That album just starts off so badass, and it just makes you want to, like, run and just do awesome shit with your life. That's just such a great positive record, and I love music like that just gets you pumped. Like, it just makes you want to run a marathon and just be stoked on life. So that was really cool to get that from Brian while we toured the museum. So definitely buy yourself a copy of this kick-ass Metal Blade Records book for the sake of the heaviness.
That's right.
For the sake of heaviness. I so mean,
Brian,
yes.
You know, Brian is like, he was starting Metal Massacre and getting all those bands together. I just wanted to show the back of this.
Yes.
It's awesome. I love the back of this. It's so old school looking. It looks like an actual bill.
It's so awesome.
The artwork is amazing.
Yeah.
It's really
so
cool.
Killer.
Save that. Yeah. So, I mean, shit, man. I think because of Slagle, it's possible that even Lars wrote in the foreword.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the reason why Metallica formed, was because Slagle had,
he believed,
hey, man,
in
you get a band together, I'll put you on my album. And he was like, all right. And they got the band together. There's Metallica, and that's history.
It did whatever it took to get a band together to be on Metal Massacre.
Definitely pick up that book. It's really cool insight on Slagle and the beginning of Metal Blades, the beginnings
of metal, you know, really.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Yeah, pretty incredible.
Really,
so,
really good book. So
it's cool to see how one person could kind of manifest all of this great stuff to happen. And he's just such a positive awesome role model, in my opinion. He's a great guy. So definitely get yourself a copy of the Metal Blade Records book. Get yourself a copy of the Obituary book. And one other book that we would like to tell you guys about.
We have another book that a good friend of ours, Gene Ambo, just put out a photo book about the Metro out there in Chicago, the classic old school venue out there. He's been taking photos at the Metro since it's opened.
Yeah, some of the
I don't even know when that opened, but he was there, Gene Ambo. It took over, I don't know how many bands, over 100, at least 100 bands.
Ambo's work is just incredible. I mean, you would know his photos if you saw him. If you don't know his name, you've definitely seen his pictures, whether it be Metallica, Samhain. I mean, some of those early metal photos that you see were taken by Gene Ambo. Yeah. So
great photographer.
Yeah. No. We don't have a copy yet to show you guys, we'll be getting ours soon.
The name of the book is Heavy Metro Access All Eras. Very cool book. Over 300 pages of photos, and we really want to get our hands on it. It looks really cool. Yes. And that was put out by our good friend Jeremy Wagner's publishing company. And
Jeremy shreds in Broken Hope and is just an all around badass.
Yeah, guitar player for Broken Hope, Jeremy Wagner, really cool guy.
Yeah.
And that's one book that we want to get our hands on.
That's a photo book too. So that's very aesthetically pleasing. If you're not the type to sit down and actually read a book, then get yourself a audiobook version. Not sure if it's available, but check it out anyway.
Or you can be like Edgar Casey and just put the book under your pillow and sleep and then wake up. Oh, I read it in my sleep.
I never thought of that.
Edgar Casey, the sleeping prophet. That's funny. That's what he did. He used to put books. He would put a book under his pillow and then wake up and already he would know the book.
I don't know about this guy.
Edgar Casey. You read up on Google him, the sleeping prophet, they call him, because he'd lay down and get into this trance and then start spewing out all this future shit. It's really cool. Read up on him.
Crazy. Well, thank you guys for taking the time to watch our podcast. It was so awesome. Such a pleasure having the Tardy Brothers with us. I'm so excited to see them on the upcoming tour. I know they're going to be on fire after 5 months off of just hanging out and writing riffs and just, you know, doing the new album. I know they're just going to be on fire. I can't wait.
And I think they said the album was going to drop in January. Was that it?
Yep.
I think. Mm-hmm. I think it's January. Yeah.
So coming soon, new Obituary.
That's right.
So excited. What an awesome New Year's present.
That's great. Yes. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you guys, the Tardy Brothers, for they sent us a couple of merchandise. They sent us a couple of shirts and
they're
stuff.
They're the best.
It was so cool. That, like a week after we did the podcast. Less than a week. And then we get this package in the mail. Bunch of cool Obituary shit. So thank you guys. You guys are awesome.
Yes.
John and Donald, you guys rule. We love you. We love the band. And we can't wait for the new record.
Yes. So stay tuned to Obituary to check out all their new stuff. And check out thehauntedchapel.com for our new giveaways that we've got going on.
That's right.
As well as my new flash poster. And other merchandise. We've got our new Haunted Chapel shirt too. And just looking forward to seeing all you guys at the awesome shows coming up here in town. So come say hi.
Don't be
I was going to say, don't be one of those weirdos that messages us later like, hey, I saw you. Like, dude, just come up and say hi.
Hey, I saw you at the show, but I didn't want to say anything. Like, why? Why
don't you come up and say, hey, what's up?
Buy us a topo or something.
We don't drink, but we'll drink water.
Or if you want to go top shelf, we'll take a double of whiskey.
Ooh.
But usually it's a topo.
We drink once in a while.
Yeah. We're good friends. But.
Awesome. Thank you guys for your support and love. We appreciate all of you guys.
Yes.
Don't forget to stay metal.
That's right. And stay haunted.